I'm so glad you're here. The Lord is in this place. His Spirit is here, powerfully moving today. His Word is alive, ready to speak to us. And we have ears ready to hear. Amen?
Yeah.
We have hearts ready to obey because this is what He's called us to as His people. And I'm confident He has good things for us today. You know, the Bible talks about in the book of Revelation, those who overcame the worst of the tribulation, the worst of the sufferings that they faced as believers in Jesus Christ. And it tells us how they overcame. It says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. They trusted in the blood of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, the redemption of their soul, and their purpose in life. So they overcame it by the blood of the Lamb, and they overcame by the word of their testimony. There is power in the spoken word that says, here is what Jesus has done for me. And the book of Revelation says that that is your power. This is how you overcome, by being able to speak out loud and say, I serve and follow Jesus Christ. By saying, Jesus has changed my life. By saying, here is what Jesus has done for me. There is power in that. Power to overcome, power to break strongholds, power to be a witness for Jesus Christ, amen? In fact, that's the third thing it says in Revelation, is they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives to the death. They were so committed to what Jesus had done in them. It wasn't just an add-on to their week. It wasn't just a religious thing they decided to try. It was a way of life. It was not a spiritual diet plan they thought they would try for a little while to see if they could lose a little sin weight in their life. Ooh. Come on now. You see, I'm sure you know this. Diets don't work. Way of life change works. Are you with me this morning? That applies for eating food, physical, and it applies for spiritual food as well. If you've just added Jesus or church as part of your spiritual diet plan, I hate to tell you this, but it's probably going to fail, because what you don't give yourself fully to will not produce any fruit in your life. Amen? They love not their lives to the death. There's power in all three of those. They are necessary. When the Bible talks in the book of Acts, in the early church, as we saw last week, that the Holy Spirit moved in and blew amongst the people and lives were changed, it was because of a promise that Jesus had given. Acts chapter 1 says this in verse 6, the disciples asked, Lord, tell us when the end of the age is going to come. When are you going to come and establish your kingdom? And Jesus says, it's not for you to know the time and the seasons of things that are under the authority of God. Uh-oh. What about all that end times talk? It's not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, period. Boy, people can get all off in that stuff, right? I'm not trusting in a plan I've looked at about when Jesus is coming. I'm trusting in the man Jesus who said he's coming. Amen? Are you with me this morning? And so Jesus said himself, look, it's not for you to know all of those details, the time or the season, because those are under the Father's authority. But that means there are times and there are seasons. And what was about to be unlocked here in the book of Acts was a new time and a new season. Verse 8, Jesus says this, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses, there it is, to me in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Now this morning you're gonna hear the story of one man's interaction with Jesus and how he was radically changed. And you're going to get to hear even better from his wife. Amen. Yeah. It's one thing when a man comes and tells me he's been changed, but when his wife tells me he's really been changed, then I believe him. Not that men are liars, but I just need to know a second person to give me testimony evidence, right? Amen.
Right, yeah.
I mean, it's true. Anybody can come and tell you they are something. But when someone else comes and tells you they are something, that's the one to believe. Amen? That's the confirmation right there. So Jesus says, you're going to receive power. Let's drill down into this just a little bit before they come. I cannot wait for this. It's going to be so good today. Here's the setup, though, in some of the words in this verse. It says, but you shall receive. In other words, the Holy Spirit can move into a place, but it's on every one of us to make sure that we have received that. He can blow into a place and he can blow right over you unless you reach up and are ready to receive what he has for you. It's a personal choice. It's an intentional act. You have to choose to receive what he is giving. Forgiveness has been offered, but it only counts for those who forgiveness has been received.
Ooh, are you with me this morning?
The Holy Spirit is powerful, but he's really only powerful in the lives of those who will receive his power into their life. That's the second thing here. Power. This word here for power is a word that means the power, listen to me, to do miracles.
Uh-oh. We done got Pentecostal up in here.
You see, this is one of the things that you and I receive is the power of the Holy Spirit. That's not just a generic title. It says, oh, I have the power. Many people say that and they got no clue what they're even talking about. But if you're going to receive the power of the Holy Spirit, it's the power to see the miraculous happen, which, by the way, if you are calling upon Jesus, that is a miracle. Amen. Because you were dead in your sins and you can't call on him and mean it from your heart unless he's performed a miracle in your heart to resurrect you.
That's right.
You can't repent of sin apart from a miracle. You can't turn and start living righteously apart from a miracle. I know sometimes we think in terms of a miracle is someone whose leg was short and all of a sudden it became long. That's awesome. But I love a miracle when a man or woman or a young student or a boy or girl calls out to Jesus and says, I want to follow him with my life. That is a miracle. When a person begins to break strongholds in their life and turn and follow Jesus, that's a miracle. When someone says, I don't want to walk in my sin anymore, that's a miracle. When generational curses are broken, that's a miracle. When a church comes alive and starts worshiping by faith, that's a miracle. Those are real miracles, folks. And this is part of the power that comes when you receive the Holy Spirit into your life. The third thing it says here is when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, comes upon you, when you receive it, he'll come upon you. He'll come not just on you, but in you. And he'll begin to do things in you that were not like you before you met him. You will start walking with holy desires. If you have a desire in you to seek the Lord, to read the word of God and obey it, that is from the Holy Spirit. That didn't come from you, that came from him. That's not natural to you, that's supernatural from him. And we count it as that. And we say, thank you, Lord. When you have the Holy Spirit on you, you will desire to do things that are holy. Your motivations will be holy. Your words will become more holy. You'll stop talking trash and you'll start talking holy.
Yep.
Amen?
Yep.
You'll stop watching trash and you'll start looking for what's holy.
Yep.
You'll start hanging around what you have no business hanging around because it's not holy, and you'll start running to what is holy when the Holy Spirit has come upon you.
Yep.
It also says that you shall be witnesses. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. It'll take someone who hasn't said a word about Jesus in the past and make them the loudest spokesperson you've ever seen for Jesus. They'll start talking about what he's done. The word witness here is the same word that you and I think about when we think of a witness who's on a court stand. What does a witness on a court stand do? They just tell what they saw. And you tell the truth about what you saw. Amen? And that's it. Don't say a bunch of other stuff. You tell what you saw. Now, there's an interesting definition also in the New Testament for this word witness. It's similar to the word that we get our word martyr from. It's someone who is so authentic and genuine and passionate to tell what they've seen that they're willing to even die for what they have experienced. They're not willing to compromise. They're willing to die if they must for the witness of what Jesus has done in them.
The last part of this verse, and man, I'm taking about an hour and a half message and condensing it down to about 5 minutes here. That's awesome. It's good stuff. The last part says that you'll be witnesses where? In Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. In other words, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you're ready to receive all he has, you will no longer have any limitations about where God wants to take you and move you and speak through you. No matter how far it is, no matter where it is, if it's at home or if it's abroad, you will go and you will do because you're a witness to what Jesus has done in you. Amen? Powerful truth for us from the Holy Spirit and what he does in a life. Now today, you're going to hear the story of one man's interaction with Jesus and what Jesus has done in him. I'm so fired up about this and hearing his story. So why don't you welcome to the stage with me, Mike and Glennis Christiones this morning. Yeah. This message has been a while coming from them and from Mike and what God has done in him. We've been meeting for a while now. We even had them in our home recently and got to hear their story. And even since then, God has just done some miraculous things. Welcome, y'all. You good?
Yes.
You good, Glennis? Yes. Yes. You're going to keep that mic up there? Yeah, even closer. It's on.
Okay, is this close enough?
No, it's not. Yeah. All right. Mike, tell us about your family. Introduce, because there's more to your family than just the two of you. So do that for us this morning. Let's get started right there. Tell us about your family.
Well, there's Glennis, and there's Joseph and Bella, and then I have an older son and daughter, who I love very much, obviously, 26 and 25 years old, and they're still in New York.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, that's the...
Keep that mic a little bit closer. There we go.
So we're a blended family, and... Okay. Raised the two oldest as well from when they're very small. So we all came together uniquely, yeah. In an odd way. They were in the fourth grade and the sixth grade at the time.
And
Bella wasn't even born.
Yeah.
And Joseph was like 3 months.
Nice.
Blended.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're getting the condensed version this morning. There's so much to this story, but the parts you're going to hear are just going to be, I believe, faith building for you, and you're going to see the miracle of what Jesus has done. So if you listen carefully, he said the name of a state that is not close to here. He said New York. Did you hear that? Yeah. So tell us, before you came to Ovilla, where were you? And even back up even into your childhood, talk about you growing up.
So I was born in New York, in Brooklyn. But I moved out of Brooklyn probably about 6 years old. So I moved into a suburbs, sort of like Midlothian now. But
okay.
That was a long time ago in the 70s. So I'm a little bit older.
Yes.
So it's sort of the size back then of what Midlothian would be now. So
okay.
Very similar.
Yes.
To what it was. So we had a nice... Financially, it was a nice place. We had a nice yard and a nice pool and very much similar like this. So on the outside, it looked very nice.
Okay.
My parents were from, they were city folk, but my parents came from a poor beginning. Let's just put it that way.
Okay.
They weren't educated. They didn't go to college. My father dropped out of high school. My father had more of a rough life, let's put it that way. And it was us and my older brother, and I have a younger brother. So they're all, one's in his mid-60s, now one's in his late 50s.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what was growing up like for you in the home? What was kind of the spirit of the home?
Yeah, it's sort of, it's a tense kind of environment. So everybody's doing their things. We're playing sports, but when dad comes home, everybody better stop. Dad's home, you know, eat dinner, it's done. And then a scatter type of deal. Get to your rooms or go away or do what you got to do. It's a very tense kind of thing for everyone.
Okay.
And me and my brothers, I don't think we're really that close kind of deal. There's not a lot of talking or speaking going on between the three of us or any kind of stuff like that. Mom's trying to do the best she can. But it's a little tense. I don't necessarily think they're not trying to have any love. It's just not really going around like
that. Wasn't expressed or demonstrated outwardly?
A little bit, but not anything like I have now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So were you involved in church growing up?
Yes.
What was that like?
I went to Catholic school my whole life. So elementary school, middle school, high school, college. And then churches, we go to church on Sunday. My father doesn't go. He'll say he went to midnight mass. That's the joke of the family. I went to midnight mass. You guys were sleeping. Everyone was sleeping. And
you didn't see me, but I went.
He didn't go. So it's just we went to church on Sunday, and that's sort of the family joke.
Okay. Yeah. So from what you told me, you grew up kind of a rough and tough guy. So as you're able, talk about that.
Well, sure.
I say that because there's stuff that he would probably tell in a different environment, but is not going to tell in this environment.
Yeah.
Are we okay? You understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah. So I know I'm 4 feet tall, so it doesn't seem that way, but, and I've heard a lot of stories here when people talk about a lot of drug addiction and alcohol addiction. I didn't have any of that. But there was a lot of fighting, and I was never a bully. That was never the case. And I think God's always been in my life, but I wasn't listening. So that was good in a sense, but there was a lot of fighting. And the thing is, there was a lot of really violent fighting.
Okay.
Bats, beating people in the face with shovels, almost to the point of not being recognizable. And probably the age of Joseph that it started. And maybe I'll say a little bit more than I want to say, but the thing of it is that I was doing it with my father. That's the weird part about it was. So yeah, it wasn't like just doing it on my own. So my father had a tough life growing up as a kid, and that's his story, and I'm not trying to demean my father.
Yeah.
It was just one of those kind of things. If someone stole from you, then there had to be a punishment. So this was that incident with the shovel was someone had stole stuff out of our shed, so we had to wait for that person, whoever it was, and when they stole it, we chased them down. And when you like to steal shovels, well, here, you're going to get a beating with a shovel. And I was the one to, you know, instill the beating with a shovel, almost to like the person is not recognizable.
Wow.
And obviously that person never came back and stole any shovels.
Yeah.
So
I'm sure.
Yeah. So those kind of things.
So we'll condense the story a little bit here. This leads you to going into the military.
Yes.
And you chose a very specific branch and division.
Yes.
For a purpose.
Yes.
Talk about that.
Well, in 1983, they had the bombing of Beirut, which wanted me to enlist in the Marine Corps. I failed because I had a hernia, so I couldn't go in 83. I got that fixed, went and enlisted in 84. And they're like, you don't want to go into the... Wanted to go in, they said, okay, what do you want to do? I had some college. You're like, you can go into the airway, you can go into this. I'm like, no. I want to go into the infantry. They're like, you don't want to go into the infantry. Because at that time, people that go into the infantry or people who are very poor, impoverished, or they're basically you either go to jail or you go into the infantry. They're not the best kind of people that go into the
infantry. So they're rough.
At that time. Yes, at that time. you know, you're going to prison or you're going to the infantry. So I'm like, no, I want to go into the infantry, because at that point, I'm like, I'm either going to wind up doing something on the outside or that's going to be illegal, or if I'm going to hurt somebody, I'm going to hurt somebody and I'm going to go do it for my country. So I want to enlist in the infantry and I want to learn a skill, because I'm sort of semi out of my mind, I think, to some way. And I want to go fight for my country and defend my country with some honor. I don't want to just hurt somebody, because that's just never who I was.
Wow.
You know, so I think God sort of, looking back on it, I think God's sort of watching who I am, you know, and sending me, well, at least go in a good direction type of deal.
Yeah.
So I enlist and I go into the infantry and I do that and I do very well at it and I get promoted very fast and I become an instructor. And I learn all kinds of weapons and demolitions and all kinds of things. And I do that for 4 years in the Marine Corps, and I enjoy that and just travel all over the world, all through Asia and all kinds of stuff.
So you're starting to get a picture of Mike before he becomes a real follower of Jesus Christ. I think you got the picture in your mind, right?
Yeah.
So condensing here, let me shorten a couple stories into a sentence. You come out and marry, divorce, marry, divorce, meet Glennis. Mm-hmm. We just skipped a lot of stuff. If you were sitting with him, there'd be wild stories out of all of that. So Glennis, this is your moment. So you meet him after hearing all that.
Yes.
We're curious, what is he like when you meet him?
Well, when I met him, one thing about him, he was very intense. Very intense.
Was?
anything would just set him off. And I knew he had a kind heart. I knew that. Mm. And he was also very smart. So that's one of the things that really drew me to him. He was very smart, very generous. However, there were times when it was like I was walking on eggshells because I couldn't say the wrong thing, or something as simple as, let's say the steak is on the grill and he tells me to, you know, flip it over or whatever. I forget, it's burning. That's it. We won't have dinner. I'm done. Why? And that was it. And it was like that for a few things where it was just set him off. And there was like this anger. But at the same moment, he would be this loving, wonderful father. Mm. He's a leader in the house. But those moments kind of overshadowed all the positive, if that makes any sense.
Of course. Yeah.
I'd make a 2 aggravation into a 10.
Wow.
Basically.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay. It's a.
Yeah, we get it with where you've come from. I get it.
It's a 2 irritation, but it's a totally blown out of proportion.
Yeah. So, when you get married, talk about this for just a moment, because it's a fascinating culture change for everyone. The kids that you have at this point. How old are the kids that you have when y'all marry?
Michael's.
Probably 11, and Liana was 9, going on 10.
Okay, so you have 2 kids, you get married. What is that like, her coming into the home?
They're shocked. They have culture shock. They're sort of don't know what to think. Glennis is coming in, their mom's Asian, my 2 children are white and Asian. Glennis is coming in. Glennis is not white and not Asian. So, you know, she's Hispanic and black. And she's coming in. They're used to eating Italian food and salmon and rice. And now all of a sudden, Glenn's coming in. Her mom speaks Spanish, rice and beans and, you know, other kinds of food. So there's different smells in the house. There's different...
I'm speaking on the phone house. In Spanish all in Spanish. The time with my mother.
Going on. It's just, you know, she has her hair wrapped up crazy. Yeah.
And they're not used to that. On. So yeah. I have my wrap, I have my little bonnet. They're like, oh, wow, what happened to Glenn? But they're looking like through the stairs, like, oh, what happened? She transformed into something else. Yeah.
Glennis is very outspoken. Their mom's very quiet. So it's a completely different culture shock for them. So it's just a complete shock. And there's a new, Joseph's a newborn. So it's just, the whole thing is just a shock for them.
It's all new. Yeah. Yeah.
And they thought Joseph was going to take away from their father. Ah. So that was a fear that they had. And they weren't too thrilled about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At that time.
I'll bet. Yeah, I get it. So, again, there's so many other stories we could tell from that whole season right there. Yes. Let's fast forward to 2020. It's COVID era. You're in New York. And talk about what that time is like for y'all and a decision that you make.
Well, I always wanted to leave New York, so it was just crazy for me. It didn't align with who I was, but the riots are going on. Everybody's locked down.
Can y'all hear him okay?
Yeah.
No?
People are...
Maybe a little closer.
Sure. People are calling on their neighbors and friends and calling the police and telling them to get in their house. You can't go out and visit anybody. Nothing's going on.
People are telling on you.
Telling on you. Yeah. Locking people up. There's rioting going on, and there's all kinds of stuff with Black Lives Matters and the whole thing going on like this. And Glennis finally says to me, you know,
at 8 o'clock in the, you got to paint the time and the picture.
So
they know exactly what a whirlwind it was. It was 8 o'clock on a Saturday, which is 7 a.m. here in Texas.
Right. So Glennis finally says, I had enough. Let's go. Time to go. I said, let's do it. So I call my brother, who happened to live in Ovilla.
Crazy.
Yeah. And he says, I call him. I said, he had a house for sale that was sitting here for a year, wasn't selling. I said, is the house still for sale? He says, he's sleeping. It's 7 o'clock. Wow. He works long hours. He says, yes. I said, okay, I think want to come see it. He goes, when do you want to come see it? I'm like, now. He's like, can I call you back in like an hour or so when I wake up? So he calls us back, you know, and he says, when do you want to come? I said, now. I want to come now. I'll come tomorrow. He says, okay. So we fly out, and I tell him, listen, Glenn, I said, it's very rural out there, because the last time I had come, I had come, it was like 15 years ago, you know, and I remember, you know, Ovilla Road being one lane in, one lane out. And there's
we were
fields,
almost country back then.
Fields and stuff. So we came out, and we got here, and Glenn's like, this is not rural. It looks like sort of where we live. You know, it's just flatter. Type of deal. It's flat, but it looks like where we live. And she loved the area.
I did.
And she's like, let's go. And then we went back to the Walmart in Red Oak. I called my neighbor, who was our real estate agent, and said, listen, we're flying back to New York tomorrow. Meet us at the house. We're going to do paperwork, and we're going to list the house in New York for sale. And that was it. We listed the house.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
Pack up and back start up. Heading out. Come to Ovilla.
That's it.
Wow.
Yes.
So I love this story about where you pack up and you have to drive out. You've got a vehicle.
Got a vehicle.
Talk about this story where you leave out of New York.
So
I love this.
I left 2 weeks later. So I pack up my pickup truck and my firearms and my ammo. And in New York, that's a big no-no. I'm like, oh, boy, I hope I make it out of New York, New Jersey, you know, in that area, because, you know, you have more than one firearm and a box of ammo. It's like you're a, you know, domestic terrorist. So I'm like, okay, well, I get stopped in the Northeast. I'm going to get arrested. And then when I get down south, I'm thinking, okay, now I'm down here with a bunch of firearms and I have New York plates. I'm like, oh boy, now I'm in trouble with New York plates. You know, now I have another issue. So I'm like, this is just not a good situation for me. either way, this whole trip. So it was just a project getting down here, but it all went well.
Yeah, you got here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So fast forward just a little bit. Glennis says, it's time to look for a church. And so you begin the mission.
So when I arrived here, I went to a couple of churches in the area, and I don't know, you always, like, you can worship, you can listen to the word, everyone's talking about the word. However, when I came into Vertical, it was a different experience. I was a little shocked at first because no one had a mask. I said, oh, what is going on here? I'm like, I'm going to die. You know, I'm like, I'm going to get COVID and something's going to happen to me. But Martha, she has such a big smile. When I came in, I will never, ever forget her for that reason. She made me feel so welcome. Mm. She told me, don't worry about it. It'll be fine. Trust me. I said, okay. So then I came the following week, and she walked me over to the children's ministry. I met Micah, and I met Molly. Then I said, you know what? I'm going to bring my kids to this church. Let's see. They loved it. It was magnetic. It was the Lord. It was, I'm still not walking that straight arrow with the Lord. So this is all, you know, me trying to figure it all out. My husband has always been a leader in our household. So, but when it came to the spiritual aspect of it, he's Catholic. I grew up Pentecostal. I walked away from the church for 22 years. And now the Lord brought me to Texas, and he brought me here. He brought us here for a reason.
Yeah.
So Vertical was the church, and I did Google Vertical, and I Googled a lot of churches, but for some reason, I came right back to Vertical. My kids loved it, and then I met Molly.
Yeah.
Molly Boyd. So I started a very nice relationship with her, and where are you, Molly?
She's right there.
So then all of a sudden I had a role of welcoming people. I said, you know what? I'll get to know people working this role. So I spoke to her. I said, look, my husband is Catholic, and I don't know how I'm going to get him to church. She's like, oh, let's pray about it. Let's pray about it. I said, okay, we'll pray. Then another Sunday, a couple of months later, I go, Molly, he's watching online. She's like, oh, my God, we are getting there. The Lord is answering your prayers. And finally, another Sunday, I said, guess what? He came, because I had not seen her, so I told her, guess what? He came last Sunday, right after worship, he came to listen to Pastor Brian. And she's like, he was here? I said, yes. She's like, hallelujah. I mean, Molly, thank you.
Yeah,
and but the thing is, at first, I didn't know he was watching online. Then all of a sudden, we started having dialogue. Our place to dialogue is in the hot tub after church. We'll sit there and we'll talk about whether or not I agreed with Pastor Brian. We talk about how, you know, Pastor Brian reminds me so much of you sometimes. And today, you know, or, you know, Pastor Brian mentioned the Pentecost. I'm not happy about that. And he's like, well, I'm happy that he's getting on the Pentecostal because he always gets on the Catholics. And this is all taking place in our hot tub because that's our time to reflect on what we discussed, what was discussed here in church. Needless to say, as the Lord kept working in my husband's life, I saw the change. I saw the change, and little by little, he listened to one worship song. Two worship songs, three. After a while, he was listening to the whole set while here in church, and he sat through the message. So in my mind, I'm like, you know what, Glenn? He's taking the lead as the man of the house, so you need to get yourself together, because I was still a little, you know, I'm just going for the ride, kind of, and Lord, miracle, miracle. So he said, listen, I'm coming to this church. This is where we're staying, and I'm not jumping from church to church. So I knew at that point that he was serious, and I had to align with what the head of the household said, because he respects me, he talks to me, but I also respect him. And yeah. the Lord knew that I prayed so long, and now he answered my prayer. Yes. The last thing I need to do is turn around and do something that I'm not supposed to do or walk in the word. I said too much, honey. I'm sorry. You can take over now. This
good.
Is your testimony.
Give her a hand. Isn't that good?
It's that perfect, Glennis.
Yeah,
that's
perfect.
That's why I love her, and that's why we're together.
That's why she's up here today. It's awesome. So you show up here, and there's a day in particular that it's meaningful to you. Talk about that for just a second.
And it's the role of the father, which really clarified everything for me. And I'm thinking about it that day, and I'm like, you know, I do try to take the lead of the role for the family, whether it's work or whether it's setting a good example for the kids and doing whatever. And I think most men do. You know, in families, except for going to church, except for spiritual leadership, we just say, "Okay, here, honey, you take over now. It's Sunday, or it's whatever day. You go ahead, take the kids to church. I'll do whatever I need to do on Sunday, or whatever it's going to be. You know, you handle that, or whatever their worship or religious thing is going to be, or spiritual thing is going to be, and the men don't." Do anything or participate. And I'm like, you know, that's probably the most important thing we should be doing, right?
Amen.
And it's like,
amen.
We're not part of that or very little of it. We're sort of following in that aspect. We're not doing anything in that or very little. So I'm like, I'm missing out. I'm really lacking. The most important thing, I'm only 10% involved in. Or whatever the percentage is. So I'm like, this makes a lot of sense. I need to be leading in this part.
When he gave the statistics of when the mother goes to church, the grandparents go to church, and the high number if the father goes to church.
Yeah. And that really just hit home. And like, I have to take the lead on this.
Yeah.
And then, I remember Joseph and a few times had said to me, it was Father's Day, and he said, "Are we going to church today?" I'm like, "Of course we're going to church today." What do you mean? "Well, you know, on Mother's Day, I know we go to church, but on Father's Day, you know, Father's Day, we don't usually go to church. You know, we usually just sit around and have breakfast." I'm like, "No, it's Father's Day, and all the fathers at Vertical are going to church today, and we're going to church today as well,
sir."
Right, Joe? Yeah, it was like two Father's Day ago. You know, and that's the thing. And when you start to realize it and recognize it, you start to see it. Like Joseph got hurt, everybody knows, broke his leg. We went, everyone wants to know, "So when can you go back and play sports? And when can you do all these things? And when can you do all that stuff?" And everybody's asking him all these questions. And then he had asked me right after he got hurt. And he said, "Well, you know, we're going to church on Sunday." I said, "Well, you know, the good thing is, Joe, no one asked you when can you go back to church, but the good news is you can go back right now."
Yeah,
so we went to church right away, and I had Roseanne bring him out a wheelchair. We wheeled him in.
Nice.
And we went to church. I'm like, because no one asked that question.
It's always true.
When can you throw the disc? When can you come back to the weight room and lift the weight? When can you do that? Well, no, he can't do that for several months, but you know something? You can go back to church on Sunday.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. So that begins something fresh in you, and we fast forward again to about a month ago, maybe 5-6 weeks ago. Y'all come over, we talk, because there's something God has put into your heart, something even different that's stirring in you. Talk about what that is.
I guess you're speaking about the...
Yeah, about this.
Getting baptized, and that was a biggie. He's calling me to do more in my life.
Yes.
I volunteer at the church and on the safety team as well. Yeah. And he's just calling me to do more. I work a lot, and he's just calling me to be involved more and to speak more. I normally don't speak a lot. This is a rarity for me. And he's calling me to be baptized and possibly also teach a class and do some other things and do stuff. And then he just called me and wanted me to be baptized and call me by a new name as well.
Wow. Yeah. So, I mean, that's phenomenal.
in itself. Again, for a man to say, I want to leave my past behind, I want to turn and follow Jesus Christ and give my whole life to him. I want to use every part of who I am for his glory. This is what he began to talk about. And so this day began to be talked about, a day for baptism, a day to tell the story. But there's another element here to this story that's the day that you believe in Jesus Christ, you become a new man. Amen? You're a new person. You're not just adding on and getting a second shot at life. You are made into a completely different person. Baptism is a picture of that. It is death to who we were and a resurrection to who we are in Jesus Christ. Amen? So for Mike, this has another element to it. So talk about, I'm sure people are wondering here, like, you keep calling him Mike, but I know him as Gunner, right? If you've called him Gunner before, raise your hand. Yeah, okay. Talk about Mike and Gunner, and what is all of that, and what does this day have to do with that?
Well, when I came here, I had this thing where my name had to be different. I know it sounds crazy, I was getting called that my name should be a different name. We went through this thing, and it came up with Gunner. Not E-R, as in a gun, but A-R. It was A-R, A-R, Gunner, and not as...
As in AR-15.
No.
Sorry.
No. I didn't say it. As A-R, as in warrior.
Ah.
So, and you can look that up on your own, and it was a calling, and it reminded me of when Jesus names, you know, Peter, and you know, I want to read something if it's okay,
please.
But, and it always reminded me of the struggles, really quick though, of you know, Simon's name being changed and people walking around and say, you know. You always look at the Bible and say, oh, you know, like it's an aha moment. Like, I don't look at the Bible that way. For me, it's you know, Simon's walking around and he's running into old friends and people are saying to him, hey, Simon. He's like, no, I'm Peter. And it's like, no, you're Simon. We know you. You were fishing with me yesterday. He's like, what are you talking about? It's like, no, I'm Peter. And people are confused and like, no, it's Simon. But it's like, it's Peter. But no, it's Simon, and people just lost. But anyway, I wrote something. I hope I can get this out in peace. But here we go. There's a moment in Scripture that always stood out to me when Jesus looks at Simon and says, you are Peter, and this is the rock. And this is the rock I will build my church. Just like that, Simon's identity changed. He wasn't just a fisherman anymore. He was chosen, called, and renamed with purpose. That wasn't just a name change. It was a calling, a transformation, a bold step into something greater. I'm taking that step now. Soon I will no longer be known as Michael. I've chosen the name Gunner, a name that means warrior, because I want my life to reflect a spiritual battle we are all in, and I want to stand firm as a warrior in Christ. But I'll be honest with you, changing a name, stepping into a new identity, especially one grounded in faith, is not easy. People mock it. They don't get it. They think it's a phrase or something dramatic. But here's what I've learned. When God gives you a new name, the world might try to call you by your old one. They might try to remind you of who you were, not who you are in Christ. But that's okay, because I'm not doing this for the approval of people. I'm doing it in obedience to God. Amen. Just like Peter, I may be understood, I may stumble, but my foundation is not on the opinions of others. It's on Christ the Rock. Sometimes we pray for God to change our situation, and instead he changes us. He gives us a new identity, a new name, a new mission. And while it's not always easy, it's always worth it. Because it's not about who we were, it's about who we are becoming in him. So when I go down into the water at baptism, I'm leaving Michael behind, and when I rise as Gunner, a warrior in Christ, and I know he's not finished with me yet. Amen.
You see why I wanted you to hear the old part of the story, right? You needed to hear the beginning to understand the end. You needed to hear the beginning to understand where God is working in him now and the kind of man that he is and what God is going to use him to do. And it's just the beginning. I'm confident there are things that God has for both of you. Yes. Minister to other people, powerful ministry to other people. So I want to pray a blessing upon them, and then we're going to move down here and he's going to get baptized. Amen? Yes. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you're doing. The power to take any person who calls on you as Lord, to take any person who will repent of their sin, to take any person who will turn and follow you, and to completely transform them, to take what was dead and to make it alive, to take what was stone cold and make it alive, a beating heart for you, to fill a man like this with your spirit. And now, Lord, I ask your blessing on him as he walks in obedience to you. I pray you'll use him and Glennis both to be a powerful light in the darkness today, a powerful word of hope for every couple, every individual, for every man and woman they come in contact with, that you'll bless them and work mightily through them. Thank you for the story you have written in them and are writing in them. We give you all the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. Amen. All right. Let's head on down to the water. Y'all can leave the mics right there. Oh, wait a minute. Glennis has something else she wants to say, right? Are you done? Are you good?
The one thing that I just want to share with everyone is that the kids in New York, his older kids, they've noticed their father has changed.
There you go.
And they don't see him every day. And they can tell that something has transpired in his life. And he's a new man. And I have a new husband.
Come on.
And we love them.
It's good.
We love them very much. And we miss that. Yeah. Them very much.
I'm sure.
Very important to us.
Yes. All right. Very good. You can leave the mics there and we'll come on down. Now, this morning, Gunner has asked that two men join him at the trough down here. One of those is Phil Lynch. Phil gets to join me again at the trough. How about that? That was Glennis down. Phil's been a friend, mentor to Gunner. But also Kendall. Kendall represents a younger man in Gunner's life that has been encouragement for him as well. So Gunner asked both of those would come today and be here with him as we celebrate his baptism together. So it's important we all remember, what is his name now?
Gunner.
Come on, yeah. We'll get to bring the kids up here as well.
Oh, he hadn't come out yet.
It's all right. It's all right. You ready, sir? Good? He's good. These waters represent the death and resurrection of Jesus. They represent the death and resurrection of any person who will put their faith in Jesus Christ. To know that who they were has been buried. Who they were has been removed. Who they were is no longer who they are. Phil, you're right in the way of the camera, I'm afraid. There we go. There we go. Now we'll get a good shot. Gunner, I'm excited for you. I'm so grateful for you, for your confident testimony, what Jesus has done for you. The removal of your past, all those things that once defined who you were are gone. They're removed because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And you will have power now to overcome the enemy because of the blood of the Lamb, because of your testimony, because I know you will not love your life to the death, but you will love following Jesus Christ. So with all that, Gunner, I baptize you as my brother in Christ. You are buried with him in baptism and raised as Gunner in new life.